Chapter 36.
You could have grabbed some steel and started swinging, Gorley,
Brenwar said.
Fighting every once in a while wouldn't kill you.
Gorley was still golden when he laughed and said,
Well, I suppose I could have, but how often do I get a chance to play with dragons? We're not here to play. We're here to fight, and Pilpin's dead because of it. Well, Mor might have been dead if I'd not spared you from the dragons.
Gorley yawned.
And took the shape of a Pilpin. I think my strategy was sound. Are you mocking the dead?
Brenwar said, angry.
Dead?
Gorley said.
Who's dead? Why, you disrespectful...
Yes, who's dead?
Someone behind Brenwar said.
Say, is that me?
Brenwar turned and found himself facing Pilpin. He took a double take between Gorley looking like Pilpin and Pilpin. There was a nasty wound in the real Pilpin's belly.
Is this a trick?
Brenwar said, poking him.
No,
Pilpin said.
I'm quite alive. I couldn't let a mere goblin kill me. A dragon, maybe, but a goblin, never.
Pilpin teetered and clutched at Brenwar.
But it's steel. It's a tad uncomfortable, and my legs feel numb.
Someone bring me a horn of dwarven ale.
We spent 25 years trying to hide you. And this is what you do? The whole world can hear you now. Is that what you want?
Bezog said, tapping his staff on the ground. Nath kept his back turned. He was busy with Gorley, inspecting the red rock dragons. Both of the savage reptiles lay still and had burrowed half their bodies into the ground. Nath placed his fingers on one's back, where he could feel it breathing, and the warmth of its life.
What did you do to them?
He said to Gorley the chameleon.
Well,
Gorley said, resuming his golden form.
After they chased me for a few minutes, they started to slow. I'd forgotten you'd sent those arrows into their bellies. I think that took the wind from them, and they dropped and started hibernating.
Nath said, rubbing his chin.
I can't believe I did that.
He grabbed one of his arrows by its shaft and pulled it out.
Are you certain you want to do that?
Bezog said.
They'll come after us again.
Agreed,
Gorley said.
No,
Nath said.
They'll burrow for days, if not longer.
He put his ear on one's back. It was almost too hot to touch, but the thump, thump, thump of its heart was strong.
If they were near the lava pools, they'd heal faster.
He sighed.
They're usually much closer to dragon home. And these black stripes and the black tail, that's far from normal.
Nat pushed the dragon's eyelid open with his fingers. Its eye was almost black as coal.
Those eyes should be orange as amber,
Bezog said, kneeling at its side.
Shouldn't they be?
Absolutely,
Nath said.
They've been poisoned or magicked or something. I know some dragons are bad, but not the Red Rocks. They are being controlled.
Nath's nostrils flared and his breath became hot. He stretched back up to his full height.
We're going to find who's doing this and put an end to them.
He eyed Bezog. The part elf wizard parted his lips, shook his head, turned and walked away.
Where are you going?
Nath said.
Where I'm needed,
Bezog said.
You're needed here.
No, I'm needed where my council is considered. It can't penetrate that great stone between your ears.
The dwarfs let out a gutsy chuckle. Brenwar even smiled, sauntering with the others behind Bezog. Gorley resumed human form, a pleasant and mild-mannered man.
You might want to take some time to catch up on things,
he said.
Bezog's been an outstanding leader and has suffered many trials since you've been down. Much has changed. You need to become wise to the new season.
Perhaps, Nath said.
But the clerics of Barnabas are after me, not them.
They're after all of us, Nath. And now, you've led them right to us.
Wherever they'd been going before, they were going again. Nath chose to keep his mouth quiet and let Bezog lead. He'd make his case later, after Bezog's emotions settled. He'd never seen his friend so angry before. But the world had changed. His friends had changed. A few strides ahead of him, Ben walked. The cheerful country boy was gone, replaced by a thick-thewed warrior with a steely gait. Nath stretched his strides and caught up with him.
"You're a master of steel, I see," Nath said. "I like how you turned those goblins into troll food. I envy you."
"Because I can kill?"
Ben said.
"You could say that. Being able to fight without holding back must be exhilarating."
"I don't enjoy it, but it's me or them. I can't afford to think about it. If you think too much, you die."
Nath placed his scaly fingers on Ben's broad shoulders.
"Ben, I'm glad you live."
Ben looked at him with his hard eyes and managed to smile.
I'm glad you're back among us.
He huffed a sigh.
"I didn't think you'd ever wake up. I've never slept more than a day before. And that was only because I was wounded.
As soon as the rooster crows, even if I don't hear it, I'm up and about."
The boyish charm started to return to Ben's voice. Nath felt the tautness in his jaw loosen. Ben went on.
"And traveling with dwarfs and a moody Bezog isn't the most fun either. It's hard on a fella. I feel like I'm the only one getting older."
The hard lines and scars on Ben's face told it all. Nath felt guilty. Ben had dedicated his life to protecting him.
"Have you no wife or children, Ben?"
Ben's bright expression dimmed.
"I did."
Nath's heart sank.
"What happened?"
"They died. All of them."
Nath felt empty. All this time he'd only been thinking about himself, not appreciating the sacrifices others had made for him, for the world, in the battle against the evil forces that wanted to enslave them.
"Ben, I'm so...
"It's all right, Dragon. That was long ago. Besides, it helps me empathize with Bezog."
"Is Sasha dead too?" Nath said, grabbing Ben. His heart burst inside his chest.
"No, she lives. But Bezog hasn't seen her in 15 years. Nor his children either. I think that's why he's so moody.
I miss my family too. But at least I know they're in a better place."
Ahead, Nath watched Bezog lead. The wizard's long black hair whipped behind him, and the stiff winds billowed his robes. The part elf's shoulders seemed heavy, and he rested part of his lithe frame on his staff. If Nath were to guess, Bezog was tired, and he was probably angry too. Nath decided to show a little more caution, but he still had to do what he had to do.
"He's just going to have to get used to me being awake. I needed guarding while I slept. But now that I'm awake, I'm not holding back and watching this world get destroyed."
With the servants of Barnabas vanquished, the lake town of Troglan welcomed the heroes. The finest food from the northern sea was unloaded from the docks on the gritty beaches, dumped onto the boardwalk planks, and fried, boiled, and baked, and sautéed. The people were happy. They danced and sang arm in arm and drank with the dwarves on top of the tables. Even Bezog's dour mood had lightened. He stood by the railing staring out over the great lake and holding a pleasant memory on his face. He thought of Sasha and his children and hoped they were well. Perhaps now that Nath had awakened, it was time to return to see them before anything else terrible happened. Sitting outside the Boardwalk Tavern, most of the once grim faces smiled. Nath and Ben were stuffing their faces with fish meat and crab cakes, while the town's women swooned over them. The dwarfs, as hard as they were, seemed jolly as they showed their fresh wounds off to one another.
"Perhaps Nath is right,"
Besog thought.
"Perhaps now is the time to take it to them."
He placed his palm over his mouth and yawned. Using magic always drained him, but using it felt so good. Blasting those acolytes had felt better than good. It had felt great. He finished off his goblet of wine, closed his eyes, and enjoyed the sun. Troglan was a fine place, for a human settlement anyway. And he could stand where he was for hours watching the birds glide over the waters, in hopes of seeing a dragon snatch them in its jaws. A wave crashed into the rocks and splashed heavy mist all over him.
"Is that odd?"
"Yeah, that's odd,"
said a fisherman standing nearby.
"We don't get tides so high."
He looked at Besog and pointed.
"You better move. Here comes another."
A wave bigger than the last busted on the rocks and soaked him.
"Ooh-wee,"
the fisherman said.
"Never seen anything like that."
He squinted his eyes.
"There's no storm over the sea either." "Huh. Jeez,"
Besog said, wringing out his clothes. One of the dwarfs pointed and laughed.
"The pond is welcoming you. Say hello back."
One wave rolled in and crashed after the other. It doused beards and soaked the bread on the table. Almost everyone was wet now. The boats on the docks were rocking and creaking in their slips.
"What's going on?"
Nath said, wringing out his long hair and scanning the waters.
"There's no storm out there."
"Look,"
the fisherman cried.
"Something is floating in the waters. Looks like a rock."
Bezog's violet eyes locked on the object. Closer and closer it came, and a chill went through him.
"I've never seen a rock that can float,"
Brenwar said.
"Nor a dwarf either."
"That's not a rock,"
Besog said. A gargantuan spiked head emerged with bright blue glowing eyes.
"That is a dragon."